Hey, what's up, guys? This is episode 548. We definitely talk about Black Lives Matter, why that is important. Just human beings in general should not be treated like we saw this week. And we definitely wanted to share our prayers with you, and hopefully we can see a better time in an upcoming months or even upcoming years and decades. Daniela?
And, you know, we also talked about some really good stuff, too. We got stuff from PlayStation. We got stuff for Cyberpunk. So a lot of good things in this episode.
And yeah, guys, so episode 548 starts now. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show. This is episode 548. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. Definitely want to do some housekeeping at the top of the show. If you're considering doing your own podcast, you can definitely get a month free with Libsyn. You can use our promo code TSR. Definitely check out our community Discord. That is skip.gg14180. You can check out Daniela at streamerlinks.com/missdjm. You can check me out at streamerlinks.com/Uriah. That's spelled U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And as I mentioned in episode 547, patrons get early access to the podcast. As soon as we're done recording this episode, it will be available for those who are patrons. Become a patron today. You can do that at patreon.com/Andrew Alliance. And for new listeners, thanks for listening. For individuals who've been with us for the last 10 years, thanks for listening as well. Daniela, how are you feeling?
Exhausted. So like I was telling you like yesterday about that whole vacation, I'm going to keep it. Make a staycation.
I'm glad you're keeping it. I was going to tell you yesterday when the last time we spoke, I was like, just keep it. But I wanted to see how you were going to play that out. But I'm glad you decided that you're going to keep it.
I'm keeping it because I kind of got a heads up about what kind of work we're going to be doing that week. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, I don't want to be involved in that. Y'all do that without me. No, that's good. That's good. So yesterday was Saturday. It was the Space X launch, America, big deal, super big deal. And I don't know why I cared, but for some reason I did. But I definitely want to hear your takes first, and then I'll touch on that a little bit.
It was just cool, and it was amazing. And then, like I think they said, it was like 9 years since the last time that the U.S. has sent Americans into space. It's a really long time. And they, of course, they have like a America is always in some competition for something, friendly competition of like, you know, who gets to put the first man on the moon, who gets to do this first, what country gets to do that. You know, it's always a big thing, but it's like just watching this was really, really awesome. And it was, I don't think I remember anything like this, like watching any launches as a kid for anything. But you ever watch a TV show Mad Men?
No, but I remember like trailers of it and stuff like that.
It's a really good show if you ever get around to watching it. It's really, really good. But it takes place in the 60s and 70s. And they have a couple scenes. It's not a part of the storyline, but they have a couple scenes where they recognize, like, you know, the landing on the moon and just like seeing like these families watching on their TV set, because obviously nothing was streamed. So they watch on their TV set and it's like a family gathering. And that's kind of what it was like with me and my son. Granted that he was actually getting ready to go camping, and he was at a friend's house. But we both pulled up the stream, we watched it, and we were texting and just waiting for the countdown. And then after it launched and saw the separation, and then I think there was like a 19-hour, you know, it's going to be 19 hours before they get to the International Space Station. That's when I called my son and we talked about it. And like, that's like the modern day way of being able to show like a historical moment like this. So I thought it was cool. That was awesome. My son enjoyed it. I was actually amazed he enjoyed it. I thought he was going to find it boring, but no, he watched it with his friends and, you know, we talked about it after.
Word. No, it was amazing. It was amazing to watch. And I think that part of the reason that it kind of hit me different, is because, I checked out Star Citizen briefly, you know, this week. But the SpaceX thing was really emotional for me, and you know, kind of got emotional. It's just weird. I was like, why am I feeling this way about this thing? But I think that part of the thing that got me was the fact that there's so many moving parts, right? And this thing, so many individuals involved, so many simulations, so many tests, and I understand the gravity of that. And I think that's what hit me to finally see this thing take off, right? And you worked on a part of that thing, whether you did code or you did the UI, whatever you did, you were part of that experience, right? That project, huge project, right? And I think seeing that, knowing that you worked on it, and now to finally see it go right in space and watch that happen, I could see why that would mean so much to any individual, any project, right? But specifically, we're talking about the SpaceX. So that got me to the point where I even kind of peeked into their Twitch, to NASA's Twitch real quick last night was Saturday, and just hearing how they were, you know, talking about the individuals who are currently on the flight and how long it took for them to even get to this, you know, part. And they pre-recorded some stuff where, you know, they were talking about their experiences and how they were able to get to this part, to even do the launch and stuff like that. And I'm like, you gotta appreciate that. And I don't think I'm a super space guy. You know, I love science and I love what that represents for us and how we're able to benefit from these awesome technologies that we see and experience, and even the ones that we enjoy on a regular basis. So I definitely have an appreciation for it there, but it was just like, man, you know what? This is really, really dope. This is really, really dope. And I was just listening to how passionate the reporters were about it, and some of the team members that they talked to were passionate about, and that really hit me different. So I could appreciate that.
Yeah, just hearing the excitement of them cheering at each successful stage, that was a good feeling. And then I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't as emotional about it, but I get what you mean though.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. So congrats to them. Are they're not back yet, right? They're still in the process of on their way back. Yeah, I haven't checked either, but I definitely want to peek in to hear the reports from them coming back. And so that was dope. So that was SpaceX Launch America stuff. If you guys have any thoughts on that, definitely let us know. That was really, really dope to see that. Next thing that we have, before we go, final thoughts on that? Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, sweet. So next thing that we have on that is Last of Us Part 2 State of Play Reactions. And where do I begin? At the beginning, right? So let's do the beginning. All right, so I played Last of Us, a portion of Last of Us, a build that they had many years ago when they were promoting it at, I think, a PAX or something like that. And I think that one of the things that I always take away from that experience is I was really scared, okay, right? Because of the intensity and the suspense and somewhat jump scares in the experience, but as well as the fact that the story was very captivating and gritty and somewhat visceral with the first game. And then now to see this thing, right? Last of Us Part 2 State of Play Reactions, which happened this past week, and how it's triple to me of that, what I experienced, the short amount that I was able to experience. So I did a live stream of it on YouTube, and I'm super impressed of what they showed, how far the game has come, how captivating the story is, how intense the tension of the game can be. And even stories I'm hearing from different individuals who played the first game where they were saying stuff like, you know what? It's so intense. I had to take a break from it to decompress, to go back to it, which is some of the things that I've heard people say for the first game. So I can only imagine how much more that's going to be for this upcoming game. And I think the fact that we're getting gameplay and actual things that we're seeing or we're going to see in a game for a lot of these presentations during the Summer Game Fest is a good thing. So those are my initial thoughts on it.
So that means you're going to play it, right?
That means I definitely want to play it at some point. At some point.
at some point.
Yeah, because there was one section. I mean, do you want to know anything about it, or do you want me to continue speaking in general terms?
Because the reason why I didn't watch it is like I admitted before, I never finished The Last of Us 1 yet.
Okay.
So I don't really want to be spoiled, and I'm really lucky I haven't been. That doesn't mean any listener should go and take it like I should tell her the whole story. No.
Right. Okay, so I can continue to speak in general terms. I was super impressed with what I saw. I think that the amount of tension and realism with the facial expressions and the actual acting and modeling of human emotion in this game is like super, right? It's up there with any big title or any big movie that you want to put up there. Super impressive in that regard. It does pay homage to previous generations of things. You know, I'll leave it that way. The voice acting is absolutely incredible, you know, and the other thing too that caught my attention, because, you know, I just love audio stuff, is the fact that the audio engineering seems so real, even in areas where I didn't think it would be, right? And I think that Naughty Dog has always done a great job with that, whether that's Uncharted or any other games that they've worked on. So, yes, I mean, that's as general as I can keep it. It's definitely something worth watching. And I think that where we are with gaming, whatever platform, I think that there's so many dope experiences to enjoy. And I think that too many times we spend so much time with trivial feuds of where a game is or where a game is going to remain. If the game remains on a console, right, I think that I'm going to be a little bit disappointed, because I would love to play it on the PC. But the fact that the game is available to play, right, on something, that it's not a project that was like a tech demo that will never see the light of day for individuals to actually experience it, like the PS5 tech demo that we just saw. The fact that we get to even see something like that, The Last of Us, you know, whether it's the first game or the second game or any Uncharted thing or whatever else Naughty Dog decides to work in at in the near future, I think it's definitely a win for the community as a whole, wherever you stand, whatever platform you play on. So that's where I'm at.
All right. I think eventually it would be on PC. And I really, on topic, I really don't understand people who get upset after how many years that something was specifically on console and then it goes to PC and then they're upset. That logic I will never understand. It's like, okay, it's a game that you really enjoyed and loved and you had it on your console for so long. Why not enjoy it with more people who don't have it and they're just specifically PC?
Right. I think the psych behind it, from what I'm gathering, it feels like betrayal to them in some way, shape, or form, where they feel like every decision that the company makes, once they decide that this is going to be their ride or die, so yeah, and so many words, they feel like it's betrayal when a company decides to expand, whether it's like a cross-play, a cross-platform, or you know, whatever that case is, where the company that is in business to make money is betraying them because they're expanding to another platform. Even, I think, which is actually not even in the news, Hideo Kojima was recently talking about that future projects are coming, but at the same time, the fact that they believe their game, Death Stranding, has done well with sales, right? So be assured, you know, rest assured, or be assured that, you know, we have other things coming and stuff like that. So companies are willing to do that because they understand that the more individuals that are able to experience their project, right, is a great thing as a whole. It's the consumers who are not necessarily, you know, happy about that for whatever reason, because they feel like it's a betrayal thing. And I think that that's more a psychology thing than anything else.
Well, yeah, the company's going to make the right decision that they think is best for them, regardless of whatever backlash they're going to get. And it is a smart decision.
Indeed. Indeed. So I want to tell you what I saw, but I know you're going to wait. So I'm not going to spoil it, but it was really good. Really good. And I think that if it comes to PC, I'm definitely considering it. checking it out. So yeah, so that's what's up with that. So kind of news, but individuals are speculating, but Cyberpunk, they're doing a hands-on thing in June. I know that they have their thing on. Pardon me.
Yep. I disagree.
Yeah. So definitely want to hear your thoughts on that first, and then I'll go from there.
I want it all. I want to see it all.
Hmm.
So I'm really, really, really excited. Oh man, it's what I don't remember the exact amount of days. June 11th is when it's going to be. That's going to be great because I'm going to be on my week long staycation. So I'll be here glued to see what Night City Wire all about, what they have to show.
Yeah, I'm glad you decided to do that. Yeah, I'll definitely be live streaming that on YouTube. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So where are we pulling this information from, right? Cyberpunk hands-on event in June, like their earnings presentation. Okay. It talks about the recent things, of course, earnings stuff and that whole presentation. They talk about, The Witcher selling 50 million copies. Okay. They talk about that in their earnings report. They also talk about Gwent. Launching on Android, that was the March 24th of 2020. That happened. Of course, there's graphs and different things like that and charts. And then there's one slide in there that just says, hands-on, June 2020. So it's not random information. This is from their report, okay? And their report will be linked in the show notes as well. And as I mentioned earlier, patrons get this episode right away, and individuals who are on the main feed get it by Tuesday of next week. So that would be when does Tuesday fall, actually? Let me take a look. Is that June
2nd?
Yeah, June the 2nd. It'll go live for everyone. So so that's what's up with that. So I'm excited. You got more thoughts? Talk to me. I'm excited.
I'm trying really hard not to set my expectations too high, but obviously I want to see more gameplay. I want to see what else I just want to see what they haven't shown. And that thing is, I don't know what that could possibly be, because they have gone like the little tidbits that they drop and they show us is like, I'm never expecting it, because I don't know what to fully expect, but it's always such a huge surprise. And I love that unknown, and it's like a good unknown. So I really don't know. I'm hoping for just like, you know, a playable demo that will be available. I'm going to say if they do that, then, oh my goodness, I'll take another week-long vacation.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what they're going to show, especially the June 11th Newswire stuff, which is exciting stuff for them as well. And, it's in the full swing of things. Everybody who is excited for Cyberpunk is talking about Cyberpunk right now, which is expected. And I'm looking forward to what they have in June, which is right around the corner. Next thing I got, this one was a spur of the moment thing. I was thinking about doing it for a long time. And I think that because I'm trying to gather metrics on my YouTube channel, one of the things I wanted to do is start doing some live streams about some things that I believe that I can speak about or proficient in, whether that's dealing with audio and different things like that. So I decided to do a voice meter live stream on YouTube on Saturday, and I believe it went well. And for me, it went well. How am I gauging that? It's because I did it, right? Because it's one thing where people have nightmares with the software, and some people are able to use it, you know, efficiently or proficiently. It's another thing to do a live stream on YouTube where the world can be watching at some point, and any questions or anything can come at you, right, on that platform. I think it's a little bit different than Twitch. I know they're both live streaming platforms, but in any case, I think it went well, and I'll be gathering some metrics from that to see if I want to do more things like that in the near future.
That's great. I bet it's a lot easier to be able to do it live and show it and have people be able to ask questions, and then even post as a VOD, people come back and see.
Yeah, it was good.
Your setup is really great, but it can be really, really confusing.
I agree with that.
Because like when you showed me your data flow, or I guess it's audio flow, I could understand the way it was going just because of what I do for work. But even just having just experience of being able to touch it and just like, okay, understand, you know, where audio gets piped through it took me a little bit to sit there to really like look at it. But for somebody who's never ever touched it, yeah, that can be really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And I think that one of the things I definitely wanted to focus on for that particular live stream was it could be difficult, but if you do these things, you should be okay. One of the things that I was saying is that back up your settings. So if your settings get wiped, you could just reload them, right? Like little things like that. You know what I mean? You can easily launch the software in admin mode, maybe considering doing that. I was just giving some tips along the way that I think that if I knew these things earlier on, it would have saved me a lot of headache, you know, and I know that for a fact that a lot of individuals want to do the setup stuff before they go live, like minutes before or 20 minutes before. I'm like, don't do that to yourself, right? Because if it goes bad before you go live, then, and you decide to go live anyway, then there's that case, right? Then you're going to be like frustrated. The fact that, and realistically, nobody really wants to hear that you're having audio issues. I know the broadcaster may believe that the consumer of the content want to feel your pain about the fact that you're having challenges with your video resolution or your audio stuff or audio resolution, which applies as well. But at the end of the day, I just want to show up as the person showing up on a channel and you're providing content. Okay. And that content sounds great, looks great. And I'll interact with you. And then I'm on my way. Right now, of course, deeper relationship with the broadcaster. Some individuals will try to walk you through that in chat. If you ask questions about it in chat, that's a different thing. I know there's different cases for that, but usually, if I jump on any stream, Facebook stream, YouTube stuff, Twitch stuff, and the person is having issues, I just go off and hope they figure it out, right? Because there's a lot of ego, and you could just interrupt me at any time, Daniela. There's a lot of ego in this space of when the broadcaster is the one providing the content. Some broadcasters do not feel that you can provide them any information that can help them, right? So if I'm the person in chat trying to suggest something to a Twitch channel or whatever that I just showed up in, it sometimes doesn't really go well. I don't know. Talk to me. Maybe I'm just talking, but it's really a fine line. But at the same time, if your audio stuff is not right, video stuff is not right, you shouldn't be going on that day or doing that stuff prior to going on that day. That's just a solid tip that I believe can help anybody. Talk to me, Danielle. What's up?
You pretty much took the words right out of my mouth.
I want to hear from you though. I don't want to do a lot of talking this episode. I know I talk a lot, but I definitely want to hear from you. How are you doing, Daniela?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm doing good. I don't know. My mind is just everywhere. My mind is literally just everywhere. There's a lot going on. A lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff, but you know, I don't know what to say with that.
Give me something. Give me something. I mean, is that foreign though? I'll direct some questions towards you. Is that foreign? Is that like, does that make sense? Is that logical? Like, wouldn't that save less stress? Wouldn't that help the broadcaster with their community? Wouldn't that help them keep the quote unquote numbers in that channel? Wouldn't it? I mean, maybe I'm crazy.
It would. It really would.
Okay.
But it's like you're saying, it's like this ego or stubbornness or even just like, not knowing, because it's kind of amazing that there are some channels that I'm not going to call them out because I'm not about that right now, where they did something right a couple times and like they blew up. It wasn't like something that was a slow, gradual build up to it. And, they didn't get to do all the trials and errors and learning along the way. And then they get to the point where I don't know what to do, or where did I screw up, or where do I grow, or, you know, that it's like so unknown to them, but at the same time, they have such an ego that goes along with them because like, well, I did this and I blew up and I made partner, or I got this in X amount of time, which is way faster than, you know, typically. So I must have been doing something right and I won't take, you know, anybody critiquing me or helping me because I know what I'm doing. But really, it's just like, you got a good break. And, you know, at that moment, you're smart to go off of that. But there's a lot you didn't learn along the way. And I think that's part of it. Like those partners who had to go through a lot of trial and errors and learn. And, you know, even when it comes to audio thing, I think some of them, like if you, I've experienced it, and it's kind of why I just don't really help too many people. I do, but it's like kind of like I got to know you first. Like where I'll pop into a stream and I'll see somebody having a couple problems and I might know like, okay, this is what you might need to fix. And they get offended. Like, all right. Well, you have fun with that then. I don't know how long it's going to take you, but you go do that. And then there's some who, and it's really amazing that there's sometimes where you can come into issues that you don't realize you did. Like my boyfriend had one just this past weekend and he spent like about, I want to say almost an hour of a 2-hour stream trying to figure out what his audio issue was. And it was like pretty much static. It was static. And then it was like a really big, like 4 to 9 second delay in the audio to the video. And we were trying to figure out what it was. And he was playing a PC game. So I'm like, he shouldn't have any problems. His Go XLR was all set up. And what was causing it was that his Elgato was, it needed an update. He wasn't even using it. He wasn't playing a console game. He wasn't pulling any audio from it, but that was the cause that was, you know, having this delay, having all this static, and it was something that he wasn't even utilizing at the time.
But it was still connected to his stuff, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Gotcha.
And, you know, that's just weird to me. I'm like, but OBS isn't pulling any audio from it. Why is it affecting everything else? It didn't make sense. But even and we only really got down to that. It's like, okay, we're going to end the stream. Sorry, guys. And it was like his community was really awesome. And they, you know, they tolerated it. And even with the static, they were like, it's okay. Just keep playing. It's not that bad. It was like, we'll deal with it. I'm like, no, for me, that's like, I am horrified if I have really bad audio. Like, it's the only thing that is on my mind. I cannot take my mind off of it. Like there's something wrong and I need to fix it. And I need to fix it now. I can't continue on because I'm not going to enjoy myself because this is what I'm going to be thinking about. So yeah, I mean, he ended it and he just like, let's go through everything you have and make sure it's updated. And sure enough, that had an update somewhere in between Friday and Saturday because he had a Friday stream and between Thursday and Friday. And he had a Thursday stream and everything was perfectly fine. So somewhere in between there was an update that he didn't get. But I think as a content creator and just in general, you got to be willing to learn. You got to be willing to trial and error. And, you know, there's with YouTube and with like you making the live stream for the audio and just having that footage there to how to set it up, what you should be looking for. I think that's the biggest benefit of YouTube. And just like at all. Because if there's something I don't know how to do, that's the first thing I go to is YouTube. I no longer watch, like when I started watching YouTube, it was just to watch makeup tutorials.
Right.
But now I watch it because if there's something I don't know how to do, that's a go-to. Somebody, even though you think it's the most ridiculous thing ever, has made a video about it.
Yep. I was just watching one yesterday for the windshield bottom cover of the front windshield. They call it the cowl, the windshield cowl. Mine needs to be replaced because the car sat and I didn't have a car cover or anything like that over the last couple of months. So that's kind of like brittle right now. So I actually started researching on YouTube one of the guys that I usually like to watch for E46 stuff. So. And I found a video that he did about it. And now we just have to order the part and I'll re-reference that video once the part gets here. Taking off the tires yesterday. It took a while, but I finally got the tires off. I got the tires on order. And I watched a video about how to do that properly without hurting myself because it's only me out there with some music or some hype music or whatever. But yeah, YouTube is a spot.
There's a YouTuber. I can't remember his name. But he's like a dad YouTuber and it's kind of actually really sweet and really sad at the same time. So all of his videos are basically, I guess, in a traditional sense, what you would learned from your dad growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's blown up. He's blown up. I think it's called Dad, How Do I, the channel. And I think there's one video on there that he's saying how proud of you he is. And for me, that kind of hits home because I never heard that from my dad. So it's one of the videos that I want to watch. Right. But that made, you know, a lot of headlines and the news. And I think he got right. Well, at the time of this recording, he's probably well over 2 million with just like 6 to 8 videos and no fancy thumbnails. Right. But the fact that, you know, and a lot of things plays with that particular channel. Right. As people were saying, the timing had to be right. Right. Because mm-hmm. we're in a pandemic right now. And a lot of individuals, the story is appealing to many, right? Broken home and all that stuff. And then from there, you know, individuals need a dad, right? So for me, that's a perfect fit for me to watch a channel like that. Even if I don't watch it often, just to like be aware that it's there. And like, for example, I just took the wheels off of took the back wheels off of my car yesterday. It's just me out there by myself, just working it out. It would have been cool to have somebody there to be like, yo, you did that thing, you know, congrats. Oh man, we finally get, you know, right. Or somebody, but it's just me. Right. And I think that too many times we don't realize how much that encouragement helps out. Right. And having a channel like that is really needed for a lot of individuals and including myself. So I may visit it for certain things, not necessarily to do the tire thing, because I know he has a video about that, or ironing a shirt. I think he has a video about that. Tying a tie, he has a video about that. But the I'm proud of you video, which I haven't watched yet, is something I'm considering checking out, right? So even with that, with the YouTube channel stuff, timing played a big part of the interview that we did for Cyberpunk to be as big as it did because of the other outlet that was talking a whole bunch of stuff about what certain demographics represent in the game. So that elevated our content even more during that time and that summer because of the conversation surrounding it. So his timing was the pandemic and how everybody needs a dad, which is ongoing for forever. Our timing was the fact that we had another outlet that was just going off about how this is a bad representation of whatever it was, whatever the wording was, I don't know. But that catapulted the interview that we did with Cyberpunk, you know, so much higher. So timing plays a part in it. Consistency is just being there, posting stuff that plays a part in it. But yeah, that not having a dad thing, I could relate to that.
I think many people can. But even I have friends and I know people who did grow up with both their parents and still don't know a lot of things that they should have learned from their dad.
Right.
And I don't, oh man, I feel like this might sound bad, but I don't know why those things didn't happen. Like I had a dad and I had a stepdad. Neither one of them were very good, but they did teach me things. It was more of like that mentality of, we don't want you to have to depend on a man to be able to do these things for you. So very early stages of, I guess you could say, feminism and just being empowered to do those things. So at 35, the fact that I have some peers around me who think that, or not even think, like pretty much they just take their car to, you know, the mechanic to just get a simple oil change. Like I do that now, but it's just because I have to, because I have a warranty on my car. But my other car, I kind of just do the maintenance myself just because it's cheaper. It's to save money.
Right.
Like, why am I going to pay a mechanic $80, change my oil when I can do it myself in a couple hours in a single afternoon? It's really simple.
Right.
But there's people like that, and I'm not trying to shame them, but I had the butt after that. You know, there's things that you should know, be able to know on your own. There are things that you should be able to do on your own. A simple as tying, you know, a tie, you might not use that skill all the time, but you want to be able to make a nice tie, even if it's a simple half Windsor, which I went through a phase where I really loved ties. And this was before Avril Lavigne. And I had like a tie for almost every day of the year and suspenders.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I went through this whole phase. And I loved it. And then I think it was my senior year and I didn't even know who Avril Lavigne was. Like that blew up during the summer because I had a fun summer. And I'm like, oh, it's just like Avril. Like, what do you mean? I spent like the last couple of years. This is my style. And then she had it. It's like, yep, I'm done. Donating the rest of my ties now.
Wow.
But yeah. It's just good. It's just good to have that. And just YouTube is great for it. And that's how I use it now. And strangely enough, that's kind of how I've been using TikTok. I haven't really made any videos, but I find myself on there because there's really cool DIYs.
So I wouldn't go for it for DIY, but that's interesting. That's good to know that.
Yeah, there is stuff on there. And it's some of it has, you know, younger people doing the DIYs, which is really cool. And then you have a lot of older generations on there now because, you know, there's this whole pandemic that's going on. So they're going to go check out what all these little cool hip kids are doing and they're having fun with it. And I've learned a lot of things from it. There's even, you know, 20-year-olds who are posting, you know, really quick, short, like 1-minute videos about how to make extra money and what you can do to work remotely. And I think that's really awesome to have there because they're very untraditional sense of work, but it's teaching. It's really is. And obviously TikTok is going to, their algorithm is going to show you the videos in which you're kind of generating towards, which you're liking, which you're checking out and who you're following. So right. That's obviously showing who I'm checking out. Because when I look at my son's and his little, what his video, his For You page looks like, it's a bunch of just random ridiculous dances and skateboarding clips. But for me, that's what it's showing. And I thought that was really cool about, you know, you have these early 20-year-old kids who are just being like, this is how I'm finding my money. This is how I'm finding success for myself. And sharing that advice, those tips with other people. So there's positivity in there. There's a good reason to check it out, at least.
Absolutely. It's good stuff. Good stuff. How did we get here? We got here because we were talking about audio. How did we get here? The real talk. We got here somehow. But yeah, so definitely check that out if you get a chance. The voice made a banana live stream. I think it was really good. Gave some tips in there, some tricks in there. And YouTube is really dope for searchable content. Next thing that we have is Star Citizen, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. When we were talking about the SpaceX stuff, the fact that Star Citizen is an absolutely beautiful game and my GPU is not that powerful to run it, but I was able to run some FPS matchmaking in Star Citizen, and I think it's amazingly done. It reminded me a lot about Halo when I was playing the FPS portion of it. I know you could, you know, modify your plane and do kind of like the dogfighting kind of combat and stuff like that, and modifications galore in that. If you're into the space type game, it's amazing. But my machine can't really run it well. But I was able to get a couple of kills when I played it during the FPS stuff. So I dig it a lot. I would love to continue checking it out at some point. Right now I think they have like a free starter pack for a limited time. So I was able to check it out during that, setup or whatever. But it's a really dope game.
Star Citizen, I don't think I've ever checked that out.
Yeah, you'll probably run it easily, but I had some rough shutdowns for no reason or whatever because my GPU was just like, nah, bro, stop. We're hurting here. you're hurting us, please. So it kind of like, you know, stopped a little bit on me a couple of times, but I'm like, man, this is so good. So definitely one to consider checking out. I do believe they're still doing like a starter pack limited time kind of thing with it right now. So if you like a star, any game, you know, spaceship, space battles and stuff like that, if that's your thing, and you have not checked out Star Citizen, definitely check them out.
I have a long list of games I need to touch on.
Right.
Every time I keep saying I'm going to play something comes up and interrupts me.
Right. So while we're still on that, Crucible developer update, thoughts on that?
I want to hear your thoughts first.
Okay. I think that I was sitting down thinking about what you were saying about a lot of games that I play with are aim assist games. And I had to internalize that a little bit. I don't know if that's good or a bad thing or anything like that. But I realized that that does help the experience for me as a controller player. And, you know, playing against the PC world as a controller player, I think that's cool. The fact that I have the option to do that. So I'm thankful for companies that do that. And, the fact that they do not have aim assist in their game currently, not sure if they're planning to do that, kind of puts me in a position where I may not necessarily play the game as often as I thought I was going to be playing it. So I'm being very, very fair here and some of the things that I'm saying, you know, just having a better understanding, some clarity, right? And just trying to frame this in the best way possible. So for me, you know, I'll still stick to the games that I currently play right now. I do hope that they consider making it, a mass appeal game to me. So here's my thought process on it, right? This particular core, thing for me is, if you did not want to do, controllers at all, it would not be in the game. So there's obviously, you believe that there's an audience there that's big enough to, play the game with controllers, right? And I think that following suit that all the other companies that are out have done aim assist, I really want to know what the philosophy is on not adding it, right? And I know there's some other companies now that are considering controller support, but they haven't really mentioned to what degree. And when you look at a game like Warface, not the new Warface that just came out for console, but the Warface that's been there, powered by the Cry Engine, that one has limited control support. I recently installed it and uninstalled it because I couldn't do like the standard jumping things that I could do. But, the control support was good enough for me to believe that I can do well, but it wasn't complete enough for me to revisit the game at this time. So, I believe, immediate answer to the question is they're doing the best that they can with the information that they're getting during this preseason. I hope they really do take into account, everything. To make sure that the game has a long life. And I wouldn't want people to leave the game and not play the game for a while with, you know, kind of like the way I'm not because of the support that I'm looking for in the game for a better experience. And that's all I got.
So, Well, I enjoyed that they are actually having almost weekly regular updates that they're putting out to address whatever issues are being brought to them. So their controller support is also limited controller support. I think it also says that on top of their Steam page as just partial, support for that. But I don't think in either Discords I've seen nearly as much complaints for controller as it is just overall the stability of the game itself. So without that voice there of more people wanting it, it's not gonna be, I wouldn't believe it would be their top priority. But games like Valorant, it doesn't really have controller support, and yet it's doing really well. But their marketing was very, very different to what Amazon did. And that's something, I love Amazon. I really do. I love everything they did. And you got to address the elephant in the room is that there are articles coming out that their concurrent players is less than 5,000 now, which doesn't really help to the queue times, which they've addressed the queuing times a bit to reduce it, which can affect how many people are actually going to play, because nobody really wants to wait 20-30 minutes to queue into a game, especially during non-peak hours. And I don't know what to say. Like, I won't be like that fanboy who won't address that the love for the game isn't where they expected it to be. Isn't where I expected it to be either, to be honest, because it's a really fun game and I love what Amazon does and their team is just amazing. So some really big changes, and I don't know, maybe addressing having full controller support, but that's not what majority of the community wants. So I don't know if having that there would make a difference, or if even if they had aim assist on, if that would make a difference. Because they're also jumping into a genre that is pretty oversaturated. So it's sad. I say it with a sad heart right now.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, they came out with the video. They were addressing the things that they were fixing, and they understand that it's preseason. They have, they did a couple of UI changes from what I understand to make sure things are a little bit more pronounced during the world. So I think that out of all the things that I said that I wanted to see, I think I got 2 out of 3, maybe 2 out of 3 outside of controller talk. And they're working to fix it. You know, 5,000 concurrents, that's worldwide, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they need to do a Q&A to figure out what is being yelled at them the most. I know it's one thing to have it pockets and you know, news forums or even, you know, Discords. And I hope that the majority of the individuals that really have something that can add to the experience to make it better. I think, what was it, from now until, when did it say, July or something like that? For their preseason or something like that, 8 weeks or whatever, that they're able to fix those things. Because a couple of things that are happening right now in the space right now. Warface, the new Warface for the console, that's a thing. You're right. So there's that. And then you also have other games that continually to do well no matter what, whether that's a Warframe or that's competitive aspects of games like Destiny 2 that does well. Or Call of Duty, that's still doing well. So as you mentioned, there's so many different options, and I hope that they're able to stand out and not get lost in all the other the games that are out.
I hope.
I hope. I know. I hope.
That's all
so,
I can do is hope.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next thing we got is Borderlands Handsome Collection, currently free. At Epic Games, so by the time that this release worldwide, that will still be a thing. So I think that it doesn't end until the 4th. So you have the opportunity to get Borderlands Handsome Collection for free. Retail is $60. And the what's interesting about that is I was able to play it. I had it installed originally on the standard hard drive, and I kept getting it kept locking up. So I'm going to try it I reinstalled it on the SSD. So I'm going to try it again to see what happens with that. So I don't know what's going on there. It does have cross PC platform, I guess, you know, cross account play or something like that. So people were able to drop in, drop out in my Borderlands games as I started playing it, but it kept locking up, you know, within minutes. So I couldn't really get the experience in. Borderlands is one of my favorite games, specifically Borderlands 2. Not really concerned about Borderlands 3 right now, I guess at this stage, but that is a beautiful game as well. So if you have not picked the Borderlands at all, it's definitely a good pick.
I did. I mean, I have it. I mean, I have it on Xbox, I have it on PlayStation, and now I have it on PC.
Yeah. So I gotta double check that to see if it's maybe it's a regular hard drive issue for me, or it's maybe something's happening in the game. It's locking. I don't know why, but that was happening. And, you know, I hope I'm able to figure that out because I love the game. So there's that. So, the next thing I wanted to mention as well, Ninja's Fortnite Tourney. I want to hear your thoughts on this first.
Me, but I've been clean of Fortnite for over a year now. I've been so good. Now, I'm glad that he's using this to put it on. I think it's cool. I mean, Fortnite's going to have a big audience for a long time. So the fact that he's putting on this tournament and just making this available, I think, I don't know. There's nothing bad to say about it, at least for me personally. People can hate on Ninja all you want. So I'm like, I'm not a fan of Ninja himself, but I'm a fan of his work ethics. I'm a fan of what his wife does. I think it's more of what his wife does than anything else. And the tournament itself overall, I haven't seen how he's going to be running it. I know that it's going to be in a partnership with Loaded. So maybe it's going to definitely be a nice boost for Mixer, that's for sure.
Yep. And that, I think that's exactly what the thing is, because I think there was a report that came out from Stream Elements that showed that even during the pandemic, out of all the things that grew, platforms that grew, Mixer did not grow, right? And I think that's very telling when you have some of the biggest streamers on that platform right now. But yet, although he has, you know, a big contract that it's not really about streaming numbers and subs or anything like that with him anymore, but the platform has not grown. And I think because of that, how do we introduce more marketing for the platform and do it in a way that's still somewhat, not necessarily organic, but natural, I guess. That's the only word I have in my mind right now as it relates to this. But him hosting a $400,000 Fortnite tournament on Mixer, I think could bring some new energy to a platform. And the percentage that it may grow if or when Stream Elements drops another report, we'll see if that even affected it, depending on when that tournament goes live. So there is that. So according to his streaming deal with Mixer, according to these numbers in this particular article I'm looking at right now, it's worth between $20 million and $30 million, according to CNN Business. So he's not starving for money, right? But as far as like getting on the usual attention that he has gotten on a platform like Twitch, he's not necessarily getting that on Mixer anymore. But whether he is or not, doesn't really matter. It's not going to affect his paycheck, right? Or his deals, right? So there is that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. We'll see how much individuals talk about it. We'll see how much buzz it generates. And then, as you mentioned, it is in partnership with the gaming agency Loaded, and is going to be broadcast on his personal channel and on the Mixer platform, of course. And I guess that's where we are with it.
And the thing is that Mixer gets such weird hate. I don't understand. I'm a strong advocate. Yeah, I stream on Twitch and I'll probably be there for like ever. But I also appreciate what Mixer does. I appreciate what YouTube does. And with the difference, I guess really the two would be between Twitch and Mixer. Mixer has a really nice layout that I think is just visually more appealing.
Mm.
It looks better streamlined. And they have some really cool tools that come out that is just on Mixer that I would love to have on Twitch. So it's really like if you're jumping into it or considering the changes, it's really looking at what platforms out there and what do you think fits your personality, what you want, what's your goal. Like not everything has to be on Twitch. And Twitch is really, really oversaturated with content creators. Like there's so many. So it's you have to be like 10 times more creative of being discovered on Twitch if you're just going the traditional sense, unless you're going to be using other platforms like Twitter and TikTok or Instagram to pull in more viewers to get to be found. And right. That's like so much more work. I mean, you got to do that for, any platform that you're on. You should always like, even if you're not streaming live, you should be creating something, making something, that catches people's attention when you're not live.
Right.
To be like, oh, I love this clip. This guy has a really great personality, or I love what she does for her, whatever it may be, ASMR or creatives or anything it is that you're specializing in, to want people to check it out when you're live, to be there in that moment. But I feel like because there's not as big of a streamer pool in Mixer as compared to Twitch, I think it's a little bit easier. But that's just me. And people like there's just like console wars, there's platform wars between those two.
Right.
What I don't like is when people compare the type of people who are on there. I mean, you're going to have a mixture of different personalities and you're going to have those toxic people that are going to be on both. But I'm not going to sit there and compare like, well, this Twitch streamer is better than this Mixer one and vice versa. Like, no, I don't have. I'm not going to allow that. If you're going to talk to me about that, I don't want to hear it. I'm tuning you out.
Yeah, I don't want to get involved into those kind of conversations. We already have enough going on right now in the world as it is. Virus or just, you know, whatever. But yeah, so I definitely want to see what's going to happen with that tournament and how it's received once it goes live. Do we have dates for that? Let me see. Looking. I don't know if they're
starting this week though.
Okay, gotcha. So let's see what happens with that. Free games on Prime Games. Prime Games is cool. You use the, I guess, the Twitch launcher to play those games. And I haven't really done much with that. I did install the SNK games, believing that I was going to have controller support. But one of my favorite games of all time, as far as fighting game, is Samurai Showdown 2. That's one of the games that's currently free with the Prime right now. And I loaded it up, and I got hyped to be disappointed that I can't use a controller. So I don't know what that's about. And that's all I got. But it's a lot of free games. It's a lot of SNK games. So if you have, you know, Prime or whatever, jump in, grab the games, and you'll have them.
I think people forget about that sometimes.
I did for a long time.
I did. And it's really bad because I think they had a really, this was like over a year ago. They had a really good one that was, I had to do it Nintendo Online. And it was like getting it for free, but you kind of, I think you almost had to return monthly, if not bi-monthly, to claim for the next month. Like it was like a year was worth of Nintendo Switch or something like that. And I forgot about it. I did it initially and then it was out of sight, out of mind. Just having it up on the notifications there is just not enough. I ignore most of the stuff that pop in that notification. Because a lot of it is more like they'll show the notifications a lot more for, oh, free stuff that you can get in game rather than a free game. Yeah. But they do have good games sometimes. I have stuff on my Twitch launcher, which I barely ever open up. I often forget. I don't even know if I think they did away with the whole community thing on Twitch, on the Twitch launcher too. I don't remember anymore.
What community thing? I don't even remember anything like that. Did we ever talk about that? I don't know.
I think very, very loosely we did when they first announced it. So they were trying to combat with Discord.
Gotcha.
So they opened up this whole community thing where it's pretty much like you can have, you know, voice chats, text chats, all this other stuff. I think I was in a couple.
Right.
But it just wasn't, it really wasn't as friendly. And I think
it's coming back to me now. Yeah. Gotcha. That was wow. Okay.
Because they took over Curse. Curse was very similar to that. And then they tried to integrate it. And I don't know if they just like, nobody likes it. If we took it away, nobody will notice.
Yeah, like they didn't even sunset it. I didn't hear anything about it. It was just like, let's just go quiet. Let's just go out quietly because this Discord thing, it's pretty big. It's pretty big. Let's just fall back a little bit like this never happened.
Because like you can watch streams from the Twitch launcher and you can do the same thing that you can do on the website. But I'm like, I might as well just be on the website. Why have another app open?
Right. Exactly. And I didn't understand that. So I'm like, all right. So the game that I really wanted to play, the way I wanted to play it, I can't do that. So I just, all right, see you later. Bye bye. I'm out of here. So so now it's like, all right, so I have to find my actual Samurai Showdown 2 on the Xbox, the original Xbox, and see if I can load that up and jump back into my retro bag, if you will. But we shall see. We shall see. Let me close some tabs here. So we got that. BlizzCon canceled. Did you care?
I've never been to BlizzCon. I don't play enough Blizzard games for me to have that hype.
Okay, fair enough. So quick PSA on that.
But it is. I do have a lot of friends who always look forward to BlizzCon, though. I do. And they're so heartbroken. I'm still waiting to see if TwitchCon's going to be canceled.
Gotcha.
So
no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of it. It's like, that's pretty big for it to be canceled, but they're being smart. They're being safe. And for me, even I'd probably be that friend that if BlizzCon was still going to be held, I'm like, do you really want to go? I'm like, I know you really, really love BlizzCon, but I'm taking this stance because like, regardless if TwitchCon is canceled or not, I'm not going to go. I'm going to be one of those people who is going to be very overly cautious, and I will wait till there's a vaccine that's available and I can take said vaccine and feel a little bit better.
Right.
And yes, I am one of those parents who feel like you should definitely vaccinate your children. So please.
Okay. All right. It's all good. So I'm actually looking at our next bit of news here. This Warface Breakout, this tactical FPS for PS4 and Xbox One. So as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that I did download Warface, which is powered by the Cry Engine for PC. It's beautiful, though limited in control support. So I was like, oh man, a little bummer for me. Okay. And so now this Warface Breakout game, I'm looking at the price right now. So I kind of pulled up the price. It's like $19.99 for the Xbox One version. I guess the standard version of the game. It's $20, right? And I think that is good to have that game on a platform like that because, you know, this is another game to play with a tactical feel, right? So I think it's more related to, what's that other game? CSGO kind of feel maybe. But I think, so it's like it's CSGO, Valorant, those games are extremely similar, right?
Yeah.
And the way you play them. So Warface, maybe like a Call of Duty. But I think the tactical word is throwing me off, so I really need to see what it looks like. So I think me comparing it to CSGO may be a bad comparison, Warface and CSGO. But I'm going to put in the same box of Call of Duty, any game like that. And for $20, tactical experience on a PS4 and Xbox One, I think that's a good hit.
You think so? You don't think that's just a bit much now? I guess. I mean,
it's so I'm not buying it, right? I'll be fair, right? I'm not buying it because there's so many other options that I could play that still gives me a great experience, like, you know, a free to play Destiny or free to play Paladins or anything like that. But they have the ability to buy, you know, character packs and different things like that. So, but I still believe that, that particular platform or platforms, whether that's the Xbox or the PlayStation, cannot be ignored. So they still need content as well, right? Everybody needs content to be able to check out. And I don't recall, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I don't recall Warface, the original one or the current one, being a thing on consoles. I think this is the first Warface that they're receiving. I could be completely wrong on that, but they're receiving it as a package, as a product that you have to purchase, right? Which is $20. So, and it looks good. It looks good. So I think if you have the money to spare and you want to check out a new game for your console platform, it's definitely something worth checking out.
No, I'm good on shooters.
You good on
I'm
shooters?
I'm burnt out on them. I am. I have my one, which is Crucible, for however long that may last.
Gotcha.
There's just so many. I want more depth in my game. And I think that's what it is. And I have those games because I still need to go and start Phantasy Star Online 2. I have that downloaded and ready. I was excited for it. And I have yet to be able to play it, which bums me out. I just want casual fun. And that's just me for right now. I mean, there's a lot of people who just want their shooters.
Right. So it is. So I definitely have to know what it says here. It says, Warface Breakout brings the classic gunplay focused competitive FPS experience to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Enhanced with optimized console controls and free post launch seasonal updates. So let's see. Sounds like a good deal. If that's your thing, if that grabs you, then definitely consider checking it out. I think that they should do the optimized console controls for the PC version, and I think that that'd be dope too, but I don't know, that's just me. That's all I want. I don't want much, but that's all I want. So there's that. Okay, so we're at the point in the show where we have to, oh man, I was dreading this part because of the fact that it is draining, right? So a human being is born into the world, right? And when they are born, they do not decide what color they are, right? Is that fair, Daniela? I didn't decide.
Yeah.
I didn't decide. But for whatever reason, I'm looked at as the enemy because of my skin color, not because of my character or my integrity or how I present myself to the world, right? You just see the color of my skin. And I think in the last couple of days or weeks or decades, or I don't know, I don't know if it's centuries or whatever, it seems like it doesn't matter what we do. And me speaking specifically of individuals who are brown or specifically black individuals, it doesn't matter what we do. It's always something that's happening that doesn't seem to be, that never gets, proper justice, right? So this week we saw a couple of things. We saw two Coopers in Central Park, and I don't think that's random. Two individuals named Cooper in Central Park, a dog being mistreated, and a lady weaponizing, cops as, a SWAT team to come, take out a black person who was bird watching in Central Park, who specifically asked this lady, Amy Cooper, to put the dog on a leash because it affects the birds in some way, shape, or form. And she didn't want to do that. She, you know, weaponized, the whole, I'm in trouble. A black guy is threatening me. Come get him kind of thing, which she mentioned that before she even got on the line. Right. So you have that. And of course, a whole bunch of other names, including, the one that's been, the main heat of me, potentially cause of all the riots that we have right now with, George Floyd, right? 9 minutes, this cop has a knee on his neck. And from what I understand, not only did he die, which is, you know, the cause of the effect of everything else that we're seeing right now, but the fact that he still stayed in that same position a couple of minutes after, which is insane, right? So you have that. And then you have the fact that you have the driving while black, you can't have nice things, you have improbable, cause just cause you just, you know, get pulled over for whatever. And I need to be fair on, as even mentioning all those things, I seldom experience anything like that, but I am the exception to, I guess, to the rule in some way, shape, or form. So I'll stop there. And, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on how your week was. If you, you know, stayed away from all that stuff. So yeah, talk to me.
I did not stay away from all that stuff. I've actually been very vocal about it. I lost followers from it, but that's perfectly fine. I don't need you. I don't need whatever ignorance you want to play in it, or you're just like, I don't want to see this on my timeline. Well, it's in the world. You can't just sit there and ignore it. And it angers me. It angers a lot of people. It does make me incredibly sad that people have that stance that if you see these things in the news and it doesn't anger you in some way, some form, I don't know what to say. I don't even, I'll listen to differences. I will, but I'm not going to sit there and try to understand that, because that is so against who I am. And I'm not going to sit there and try to force somebody to understand why they should care, because you shouldn't have to force somebody to care for another human being that is not them, that is not their family. And there is something that I kind of feel like there's one thing where I feel a little bit not offended by. I'm not sure what the word I'm trying to look for, but there is a case where at one point I did say sometime in the past, and somebody brought it up to me too, and I understood where they were upset about it, but it's not how I actually mean it. And it's the phrase of, I don't see color. Obviously I see color. Black is beautiful. Brown is beautiful. White is beautiful. Everybody is beautiful in my eyes, and I love everybody. But I feel like my words when I said that were a little bit taken out of context. So being raised in Hawaii, where we're not necessarily the minorities. If I move to the mainland, I am 100% a minority. Here in Hawaii, we don't care what color you are. I wasn't raised to be like, oh, that is a black man, they are just inherently bad people. Or I wasn't raised that, oh, that is a white man, you're going to treat him differently. I was always raised that you judge a person based off of their quality of their personality, the quality of who they are at the core. But I appreciate, I was also taught to appreciate the struggles of somebody that is different from me, regardless of what race they are. But I was also raised, like, when I moved to California the first time, I think I had, like, living in Hawaii up until, like, the fourth grade. I mean, I lived in Vegas in between there, but I mainly remember my memories up until fourth grade of living in Hawaii. And I had one Black friend. And this is going to sound so strange and so weird, because even thinking of it or even realizing it now as an adult is I didn't know he was a Black man or a Black boy. Like, I saw it, but in my head, I was like, oh, you're just a lot more tan than I am. And that was it. Like, he was a really cool kid, and I loved playing in the playground with him. And when I moved away, he was the first friend that I was going to miss. His name was Hippolito, called him Lee. And that was that. And then I moved to Glendale, California. And there was actually an amazing amount of Filipino kids there. So that felt familiar to me. But then there's a lot more Black kids. I was like, oh my goodness, there's more of you. And I loved playing with this kid. And I was just amazed by it, by the differences. But then from there on, I also realized how those kids were treated so differently. And I did not understand why. And I remember my mom trying to explain that to me. I remember my aunts trying to explain that to me. And it was such a bizarre thing, because these kids I'm going to school with were treated so differently, and they didn't act any differently than I did. They didn't play any differently than I did. So why are they being treated differently? And to learn pretty much what racism is at that age. And then It's weird, because I didn't get to learn about that until much later in my life. And now that I get to be back in Hawaii, the Black Lives Movement is almost like we're in our own world. We don't have any protests going on here. We don't have anybody voicing anything. I think I have coworkers that I think they only learned about George Floyd on Friday. So you can see how incredibly disconnected we are. And I think there was me going through and just like seeing everything that's being posted on social media. There was somebody, I think it was on, what is his name? Boyega?
John Boyega?
Yeah. He posted something about F racism. And then people were like jumping on him. And then there was somebody who replied back to him, and they lived in Hawaii and they were Caucasian, and they were trying to compare the way that they're treated in Hawaii to, I guess, sympathize. But the fact that this is a Caucasian person that's posting this, it kind of made their point invalid. And everybody jumped on them for it.
Mm.
And the thing is, I understood what John Boyega's message really was. It's just like, it's not the fact that people automatically associated his message of F racism. They automatically tied it to Caucasians. Like, that says a lot in itself, that you have all these white people in his messages trying to defend, I'm not racist. And I'm like, well, obviously his message is getting a point across there that majority of it comes from white people. Anybody can be racist, but the fact right. that there's these people getting in there. And I was like looking at her message, and that in Hawaii, I think it's less about the color of your skin that most of us really dislike, as it is, again, majority. I guess, oh my goodness, this is such a thing. I'm like so scared about saying anything, but I can totally see where Caucasian people coming to Hawaii would feel that we are racist against white people. But it's not even about their skin color as it is about not having that aloha spirit, because majority of the tourists that come here are very self-entitled.
Okay, I want to stop you right there for clarity's sake. What is the aloha spirit? Explain that to us.
it's having love and appreciation for not just the people who are here, but for also the land, for the culture. It's basically having love for where you're at and okay. the people you're there with.
Gotcha.
That's like the basic summation that I can put up there.
Okay. Yeah, I needed to know. That's why I was just like, all right, cool. All right, fair enough.
But you have tourists who come here who bring that mainland mentality with them. So if you're going to take a vacation here, and definitely if you're moving here, you leave that wherever you're coming from. And you don't bring that with you. You don't bring that mentality with you. And a lot of them will disrespect not only just the Hawaiian culture, but like they'll constantly like litter, or they'll feel self-entitled that, oh, I paid to come here and, you know, we're fueling your economy, so we deserve this. Like, nah.
So, and you know what's
interesting? That literally can be, it's really more towards tourists in general.
So, or, I just want to say this. What's really interesting about your last two or three sentences is you're trying to be so calm, but I feel the fire, okay, that you really want to unleash, but you're being so calm. Okay, but anyway, I'll just say, just observing. Go ahead.
Because you get a better message across if you can remain calm, and it's not trying to be heated. And I'm not trying to direct this towards anyone because, you know, sadly, it is majority Caucasians that have that mentality. But it's not like I haven't seen it from any other race.
Right.
I will say, I think all of our foreigners from like Japan or Philippines, they're always so respectful. It's amazing. And I love it. And they're always so kind. And I think it's just majority that come from the U.S. that come and take a vacation here, regardless of whatever race they may be. Because it's more of... So even though the word haole is associated with Caucasians, in translation, it just means foreigner, which is pretty much anybody that is without ha. That's pretty much what haole means, is without ha, without soul, without life. We kind of do associate that with a Caucasian people because that's the personality. That's what they bring with them.
When they come to the land, that's how they treat
yeah.
individuals who, you know, are the land, quote unquote, right? Who,
yes.
who grew up there, who the soil of the land has been with their families for generations kind of thing, right?
Yes.
And they pretty come much. In and they act, you know, like so disrespectful.
Yeah, pretty much. They really do. And like there's a reason why when Zuckerberg moved here, there was a lot of hostility with him. And it wasn't because, oh, he has just big money bags. It's just that they were in the neighborhood he was living, they were trying to change, he was trying to change or affect or alter their way of living that they didn't like. And he wasn't respectful for it. He didn't. I think in Hawaii, we go above and beyond. So if you have a neighbor and you want to do something, even though it is on your property and you have every right to do it, it's still the nice thing to do is like, hey, I'm going to put this fence up here. You know, it's like, I don't know how it's going to affect you, if you want it or not. I can change the height of it. I can do whatever, but I'm going to put a fence here. And you're letting your neighbor know, even though it is on your property. It's just a nice, courteous thing to do. And like most of the time, nobody's going to care. It's like, oh, well, thanks for letting me know. Zuckerberg, he just didn't care. He's just like, I'm going to build this huge ass wall. I'm going to block your viewage here. But you have other, you know, celebrities. Like you had Pierce Brosnan that was living here and he loved living here. You have Bette Midler who loves living here and she's done a lot to give back to the community. Even though it's their part-time home, they gave back to the community. They did stuff. Pierce Brosnan used to have these amazing 4th of July parties and have like fireworks and barbecue food, music, all of these things. And he invited everybody. But that's not the common thing. Like it's definitely a whole different world of living being here. So like to have this person comment about it, it's like, well, part of it is being judged on your skin color. Yes, because you're you're Caucasian, but it's really quick to change our impressions of you just by how you act. Like, I'm not going to say a white person are like, oh, they're just instantly a jerk. I automatically, for me personally, in the way that I raised my son and the way that my family approaches it is like, if you are, you know, you come across a good person, you're respectful, all right, we're cool with you. You do like one thing that's just like, all right, you're selfish, you're just like the rest of them. It's kind of done. It's gonna take you a bit to get out, to change your mind. I've had people who've moved here and they're Caucasians, and instantly like I will not tolerate them. I had one guy who told me because I didn't speak Filipino or Mandarin, I was an Asian. He straight up told me, he's like, you're not Asian then. I'm like, excuse me? I am Filipino and Chinese. I am very proud of it. It's like, no, you're not. You're basically a white person. I was so offended. Like, no, I am not. Thank you very much. Get out of my face.
Wow.
But it's nowhere on the level that the African Americans, the Black people have to face at all. Whatever discrimination, whatever racism I've ever had to live through in my life, and that only came from living in the mainland or being in the mainland, is nowhere on that same level. And I will never even begin to try to compare or justify. So going through all of this, my heartbreak, like, it was hard to watch that video. It was hard to watch it at all. It was harder to watch with my son. And yeah, I am exposing my son to this because he's Hapa, he's half Caucasian and half Asian, but he has a much fairer complexion than I do. And if anybody sees him straight off the bat, they're just going to assume that he's completely Caucasian kid. And explaining that I've been trying to do this for like years now, where he could actually understand what racism was, for him to understand and for me to actually understand too, that he has a privilege that I don't have. He has a privilege that his friends don't have. And that is such a foreign thing. Just like, what do you mean? It's like, you're going to be treated differently in your life. When you go out into the world, you will always be treated differently, if not better, than somebody who is of color. And he's like, well, I don't do anything better or worse than anybody else. I'm like, it doesn't matter. And to show him all these things and to see how it affects him, like, it sucks, because I don't want my son to just think that the human race is terrible people all around. But you can't hide this part of history. This is part of our history right now. Everything that's happening with the Black Lives Movement is a part of our history. And I want us to be on the right side of it. I don't want us to be the silent side that, like, oh, in Hawaii, it's none of this stuff is going on, so it doesn't affect us. It does. And it is strange because he's like, well, you've never taught me to rate or treat anybody any differently. It's like, well, that's how I raise you, because that's what I want you to do. But a lot of people aren't raised that way. So I've been very verbal about it. And my son asked me, he's like, well, all lives matter. I'm like, yeah, they do. But until Black lives matters as much and equally to everybody else, it doesn't matter. Because they are the minority that is treated the worst. And it's pretty much the same for anything, that even if it's not skin color, it's even in wages. Until women are paid the same as men across all fields of work, it's not fair. It doesn't matter if there's, you know, a handful of women that get paid the same amount as, you know, their male counterparts, until all women are paid the same, that it doesn't matter. That's like, when we reach that point, then it will matter. And then that's the same thing for the color of our skin. And it's, I'm trying to be so thick because I'm trying not to offend, but I'm also trying really hard to not just be angry.
No, just speak, you know, the truth. I mean, this is, it's been a week. And I think that I've, you know, gotten a headache of watching a lot of stuff. I've gotten sad. I've gotten frustrated. I try to get my mind off of it as much as I could, trying to do different things. And you know, I wanted to go out and do a couple of things, trying to decide if I want to just order stuff online and let them just show up versus just picking stuff up. It's been a week, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, am I just fortunate over the last couple of years? Because my situations have never been, you know, crazy like that, you know, to death, right? Because I've had cops tell me get out of the car, but they just wanted to me to walk with them so they can show me where I created the infraction. That's different than somebody else's experience, right? There's certain things that I can't necessarily relate, like walking in a store and being followed, I can relate to. Putting in a cop car because of an infraction that I did, I can relate to, right? Being in a cell for a couple of hours, I can relate to. But not the stuff that we're seeing this week, right? So I do have my experiences, and my experiences are unique. And it's a small percentage of individuals who can say that, hey, you know, you were chilling and having a conversation with a cop and it worked out well, right? To the point where you were joking around, you know, but all cops bad? I don't know. No. Like, that's what I'm saying. So like, even with the guy who voiced, Zavala, Lance, I can't remember his last name right now. He had read a passage from a book called Breaking Rank, where a chief officer was speaking to someone who apparently had, you know, some crazy history of dealing with minorities. And the person, that particular cop, was basically saying nothing's going to change and nothing will ever change. We're always going to behave the way we do, right? As cops, right? There's going to be a good batch, and most of us are always going to look at individuals who are minorities a certain way. So is it ever going to change? I don't know, right? So you have that. Then you have, of course, activist Killer Mike speaking about the whole situation and you know, very emotional about it. And he didn't even want to speak about it because he didn't want to be there wherever he was. You know, at the time, I think it was something happening in Atlanta where he had to speak at a podium and stuff. He didn't even want to do that. I saw Jamie Foxx, you know, speaking about it. And I saw Dr. Lupo saying something about it, right? Which I don't know if he's known to just speak out on different things about it. I don't know, you know, but he understands the fact that he plays video games for a living, does very well. But he said something specifically that was that caught my attention, where he said, if I take my TV right now, put it underneath my arm and walk down the street, nobody will say anything to me. But if a black person does that, cops will be called immediately. And that's not fair. How do you know I'm not taking my TV to my friend's house to go play a LAN party? Why do you assume that the TV that I have underneath my arm is something that was stolen from somewhere? That's a problem. And that's ingrained in the DNA of where we are, right? It just doesn't make sense. And am I guilty of it? I'm probably guilty of it, where I looked at a certain group when, you know, I was growing up in Brooklyn, and if they look shady, and that doesn't mean that they are, but I think we all have, you know, our perception of certain groups, and it could be the neighborhood. Maybe the neighborhood paints the perception, and I didn't live in such great of a neighborhood. A block or two away was a project that was known to, you know, slash, you know, faces, kill people. So my perception was partly, you know, brewed or made from that, right? Where you have to watch your back and stuff like that. So maybe that's a different take, because I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and in the 80s, 90s, right? Maybe that's different. But just walking around believing everybody who looks like me, who's brown, is, you know, has negative intentions, that's just not right. You know, it doesn't matter how you want to spin it. It's just not right. So, seeing Killer Mike speak about it, Jamie Foxx speak about it, Lance, the guy who voiced Zavala in Destiny, speak about it. You know, I was just seeing different clips and stuff like that. Of course, the videos were crazy about the riots and different things like that, the looting and all that stuff. Jake Paul involved in a situation that he may have been looting, or maybe just filming it for one of his shows. I don't know. I'm not going to speak on that because I don't know. And what Dr. Lupo said about what he said about the TV underneath the arm down the street, that was very telling. So much stuff. And it just goes back to the fact that racism never left. Racism is just being filmed. It's just being filmed. It never left. It's just being filmed. And that's all I got on it. I'm done. Definitely praying for the family, the families that are constantly being affected by these things. Yeah, I'm done.
So, man, I should be done. But I'm just really angry about it. If I lived in any of those states, I would be there protesting. I would be, for me personally, and I'm not trying to get sympathy out of it, I'm angry that I can't. Like, I can't be there to protest. I checked in with friends and family who are, and making sure that they're okay. And, you know, I asked them, I was like, okay, when you go out, let me know. When you come back, let me know. But I obviously am voicing myself. I am putting out information that I feel, or retweeting information I feel is important and needs to be known. Yeah, I donated. I'm not the type of person that I feel like I should have to screenshot it and post it. I have really mixed feelings about that itself. But there's a lot of, if you want to stay in the safety of your home, I really do feel like just being able to donate to the different organizations that are out there that are available for the Black Lives Matter movement, for George Floyd's family, they are there. You can help. And I very, very much believe if, like, you don't know how to help, ask. It's better than doing nothing, because if you're just being silent about it, if you're just being like, it doesn't affect me, especially if you're just going to say it doesn't affect me, that says a lot and you're on the wrong side. And personally, right now, I don't care if that offends you at the moment. I'm not caring right now. I know I said I'm listening to differences, but at the same time, I'm not listening to arguments of people's, especially people who say, like, with George Floyd's video, like, I don't want to comment on it because I don't know the whole story. Even if he did something to break the law, what happened to him is above and beyond extreme. And it's not justified. There's nothing for one cop to be kneeling on his neck and to have two more holding him down. He was already restrained. And there's that same treatment is not given to, you know, many Caucasians who did far worse.
And yeah, I mean, there's, you go shoot up a church and then after that you ask for Burger King and you get food, or just doesn't make sense to me. But
so
that's a whole different thing.
That's where I'll be at with it. And obviously right now, what I will take the time to listen to is anybody who wants to educate me more on their life, their experiences, the Black Lives Movement, or Black Lives Matter movement. I'm always there to listen anytime, anywhere. And that's like, as far as, you know, that statement you said that things are just not going to change. Like, it really pains me as a parent that my son has to live in a world in where we're still struggling with just being equals.
Mm.
It changes with, maybe we might not see it in, you know, our lifetime, but I want it to be at some point where it's just like, it's just a bizarre thing that, like, oh, at one point, people didn't like Black people. Like, I want that to be like a bizarre statement that somebody makes of like, wow, I can't imagine a life like that. I would love that. But it starts with educating our children so that they can educate their children that just to love.
Yep.
Regardless. But there are certain things from these protests that I don't fully agree with. Obviously, like the looting and the riots, which I'm still on, like, this whole thing, if it's set up or Antifa or any of that stuff, I'm not even going to dive into that. But the stuff like I think there's two of them. There's the dollar store Hawkeye and the dollar store Sephiroth.
Mm.
Neither one of those men's are right for, you know, harnessing a bow and arrow or sword. But the mob beating does not help the cause.
No.
Disarming them, disarming both of them, yes. Beating them, I think the entire message is lost when you get to that point.
Yeah, pretty wild. Pretty wild okay. stuff. Wild week.
Okay, now I'm done.
All right. So so next up we have Kart Rider. Oh, I love this game. This game is in beta, Kart Rider Drift. That's going to be in beta from June 3rd to the 10th. And I was really, really happy when I discovered this game. And it's got like a Mario Kart type game. And it's free to play. It's really, really well done. A very, very awesome, joyful music. I had some thoughts on it where they should put more music. I think title screens and different things like that. There are certain sections in the game where they didn't have enough music, which was very, very bright and jolly music, which I loved, especially for a game like any kart type game, like Mario style or whatever. And so the fact that June 3rd and June 10th, they're actually doing, and I think it's right along the lines of anything that we start seeing for E3, right? So we're in that window of things getting hot, and a lot of companies are making announcements and showcases are happening and hands-on stuff are taking place. So I really dig this game. It's one of the games that I'm looking forward to playing again. Kart Rider Drift, that's June 3rd to the 10th.
Sorry, I'm still in my angry phase. I'm trying to
You trying to get out of it?
Yeah.
Hey, John, come on out, Danielle. Come on back. It's but yeah, so I mean, just a quick PSA on that for individuals who are looking for you know, a game like a Mario Kart but do not have a Nintendo console to play it. Kart Rider is definitely a great way to do that and enjoy that. And I think last but not least, we have the PlayStation event, right? That's coming up Thursday. We're going to see some things and you're invited a look at the future of gaming on PlayStation 5. So that should be interesting. June 4th, that's Thursday. So by the time that this comes out, all over, that's Thursday, June 4th at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard, time. And, for me, that's 4 o'clock Eastern time. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to show, for PlayStation 5. And, yeah, that's exciting stuff.
I am so, so looking forward to it. It'll be stream live while I'm at work, so I'll have to watch it when I get home from work.
Yeah.
But all about those games. I want to know what games will be available on day one. I will actually probably own a PS5 day one. I bought my PS4 day one and I don't regret it. So I look forward to it. I really do.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. I'll most likely be streaming that on YouTube. For the same reason we were talking about YouTube and all that stuff earlier. It's just one of those platforms that you can definitely build some dope stuff there that's searchable. So, most likely, you know, unless something happens with the world, I'm not able to, I'll be on there streaming that, event, PS5. And, of course, June 11th, which we'll probably be recording before then, but the June 11th, I'll be streaming the, Night City Wire things for Cyberpunk 2077. And I think that's it for news. We covered a lot today. I think that's it for news. You got any thoughts for news? Anything that we may have missed on this one?
No, just that, you know, tomorrow's going to be June 1st. Hope for a better month. We got exciting news. We got, and as far as gaming news comes, we got some good stuff coming up. So I'm excited about that. I need some positivity in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If anything I'll say is, guys, as I'll keep mentioning this, the next couple of weeks, is that, the show is now on early access for patrons. So definitely check that out. You can get early access to the show. You can do that at patreon.com/Andrew Alliance. The current goal right now is to offset some of the costs that allows us to run the show, whether that's hosting costs and all those things that are involved with that. I think the goal that I posted for that on that page is 400. That will cover most of the stuff. If you're able to support in that way, that's cool. If you're able to share out the show, but you're not able to support via Patreon, that's cool too. And I think that's it. That's all I have. And yeah, as you mentioned, June, I'm looking forward to a better month, and humans behaving better. And, that's all I got.
That's all we all need. We need some good news somewhere. But yeah, I got nothing. I'm going to get through my last, like, this week of work, and then I'm going to enjoy a staycation. That is what I have to look forward to in June. And obviously this vacation was originally meant for E3. Oh man, I miss you. I don't get to see you this year.
I miss you too. And yeah, it hurts. It hurts a little bit, but I think that one of the things I definitely want to be better at is hitting you up so we can, catch up and stuff like that. You know, I like to make sure that you're not, busy when I do that, and I know you said it's cool for me to do that anytime, but I'm really trying to be mindful of your time as well. So I miss you too. And I'm sure we'll be talking between now and the 15th, I guess, first half of the month.
Yeah, definitely. You can always hit me up. Make it always seem like I'm just too busy to talk to. I mean, yeah, I have a busy life. You always make time to talk.
I'm just being mindful, I'm just being mindful of your schedule. And But the other day I needed it. I needed that. So thank you.
Yeah, I just don't got anything exciting. I just work, come home, work again. But if you got nothing else, I got nothing else. Been an episode.
Thank you for being awesome. I appreciate you.
Oh, I love you.
Love you too.
All right, guys. So thank you for checking us out. And of course, we'd love it if you tell a friend about a show. So if you want to interact with folks just like yourself, join our community Discord at skip.gg/14180. You can find all the information. It will be posted to our site, socialradio.info. And if you want to catch up with either Andrew or I, you can follow all of our socials. You can find it on streamerlinks.com/Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A, and myself at streamerlinks.com/MissDJM. And if you enjoyed this episode, please consider heading over to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a rating, review, and subscribing to us. And you can find us on all other your favorite podcatchers, Spotify, Google Podcast, or Google Play. And just Google us up and we'll be there. And until next time, stay safe and love you guys.